So we'll take our Bibles and we're going to read Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And we'll read verses 13 through 15 together. All three verses in unison here. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. We'll pause at any punctuation that's there. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Amen. Matthew 19, 13 through 15. We'll read all three verses. Let's start there in verse number 13. Ready? Begin. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And let's pray. God, we thank you so much, Lord, for having to look forward to one day. Thank you, Lord, for the life we have to live down here, Lord. I thank you for the Christian friends and family that we have. Lord, help us to live our lives the way you would want us to live our lives. Lord, I ask you, bless the service. We want everything that's done this morning to give you honor and glory. And Lord, would you have the preeminence in what's preached and what's said here this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your love to us. I ask you, please just guide us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
Here in Matthew chapter 19, we'll come back to it in just a moment. I want to talk to the men of our church today. Ladies, I want you to listen. But fellas, my sights are pointed at you. Amen. This is Father's Day. We live in such a sissy generation. I believe America only has one chance, and that's a revival of men. I mean that. I thank God for a church that has a lot of good, godly, hardworking, manly men. Brother Aaron and I were out soul winning yesterday and talked to a feller, and I said, look, I said, our church isn't full of three old codgers, two draft dodgers, and a one-legged man. I said, it's full of good, hard-working, hard men. And I said, I thank God for it, and I do. But may I say something? There's never been a better example of anything that any of us should do than Jesus Christ. Jesus was man. But he was God. He was the God man. And he is to be the example for you and for me. God said in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And Jesus was the example that God used to create man. Now, listen to me very carefully. Jesus was not a long-haired hippie who wiggled when he walked everywhere he went. This little prissy thing that you see printed in Bibles and churches and stuff, that's a bunch of garbage. First of all, God said it's a sin for a man to have long hair. 1 Corinthians. Jesus would have been a sinner having long hair. Everybody doing okay? And he didn't wiggle when he walked. He didn't wear a dress and walk around saying, peace, 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 love, love, love. He wasn't with the snowflake and the alphabet soup crowd and that he got them. Yeah, he did. It's called Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's destroyed two cities. Well, all love is love. No, all love is love if it came from God, but everything else is lust. All lust is more appropriate, not all love is love.
That's right.
Jesus was not this little liberal thing that you see wiggling around in religion today.
Amen.
Jesus attracted, and I'm not talking about in a sensual way, but he attracted manly men.
That's right.
Have you ever been to the docks where they professionally fish? Those are a different breed of man.
Amen.
It's kind of like going to a Harley biker bar and preaching, amen? It's a little different breed of man that professionally fishes. Do you think a guy wearing a dress with long hair that wiggled when he walked saying, love, 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 is going to cause professional fishermen to leave their business and follow him?
Nope.
Men like Peter, James, and John. James and John were called the sons of thunder. not the son of a snowflake.
Amen.
I love that. It wasn't even in my notes. I just thought of that. Amen. It's of God. Anyway, you see, he was able to attract hardworking professional men. And they would leave their business and follow him. They dropped their nets and followed him. They left the tax business to follow him. Imagine quitting your job and no job and following a man just because he said, follow me. That's some more man right there. Yet, he was able to endure the beating of Calvary without a word. And yet you never see Jesus being a bully. Let me make a statement here. Jesus was a man of great balance. Let me say that again. Jesus was a man of great balance. Someone once said that Jesus was the man of steel and velvet. He had both qualities, not just one. He was just, but had mercy. He could preach to thousands without a microphone, but took time as he went into a city to sit down at the edge of a well and talk to a lady, and she was not intimidated by him. He didn't order her. She did it willingly. That says a lot about a man, doesn't it? To be tough enough to handle whatever came his way, but tender enough to where women and children didn't run from him. Now listen to me very carefully here. In Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees have challenged Jesus. The Pharisees are the religious politicians of the day. He stands strongly against them in the first 12 verses. They challenge him about marriage and divorce and the law and different things. And Jesus, everybody look at me for a second. I can explain it faster than you can read. For lack of better terminology, I'll use redneck terms. He ate their lunch.
Amen.
He handed their lips back to him in a bag and said, here you go. He literally just destroyed them and decimated them. And he's got these rich political leaders and religious leaders, and he does battle with them. In the very next verse we read, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. They said, Jesus doesn't have time for these kids. But Jesus said, suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Here's a tough Jesus steel going against the religious liberals. He does battle with them, so to speak, and in the very next breath, they bring a group of kids to him. And the disciples said, look, he's too busy to talk with these kids. And Jesus said, shut up, fellas. That's in the Greek, by the way. He said, fellas, hush, 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 hush. Let him come to me. I want you to notice something. The children were not afraid of him. The children were not afraid of him. You have to understand something. He was tough enough to fight the politicians, but gentle enough to where kids wanted to be around him.
Amen.
Not just be around him, but to where they told him their heartache. You know, children have heartaches too. This sermon was done a couple weeks ago, but children get sick and want Jesus to pray for them too. Children have a pony that is hurt and needs healed. Or as I got a call this week, somebody's fish was dying. Do me a favor, call me before it's sick, before you ask me to pray. Children, when it's laying upside down going, it's not the time to pray. It's time to flush, amen? But children have their pets who are hurt and not doing well. Children wanted to tell Jesus about a daddy who left them. Or a mama. Children have mamas that get cancer and they're afraid. Children have grandparents who are sick or dying and don't know how to deal with it. Children might have an afflicted brother or sister. They get picked on because their sibling isn't quite like everybody else. Children have mamas and daddies that fight a lot. Or they just have a boo-boo they want to show him. Here's this man of steel, a backbone of steel, but has the velvet touch to where children want to come to him and want to tell him their heartaches too. Fellas, the disciples tried to shoo the children away, and Jesus tells them to leave the children alone. He listens to every one of their needs. Tassels them on the head. Prays for each one of them. I love it when our kids come to church and they love their preacher. They want to hug their preacher and tell me about their sick goldfish. Or they pick a dandelion and bring it to the preacher's, and it's already 100 degrees out and it's going. But I love every one of those. I do. You see, this gentle Jesus was the same one that just stood against the religious liberal politicians. You have this man of steel and velvet. You have this balanced Jesus. The children are no way afraid of Jesus. We see here in Matthew 13, Jesus at his best. We see the tough and the tender. Now, listen to this statement. I'm here for a second. You're the only one up here. It better be you. How old are you? 30? You realize that Jesus was within 1 year of the age of Brother Anthony right now? He wasn't an old pawpaw like me. He was a young man. Jesus died at 33. I'm not saying that about you. But listen to me very carefully here. We're not talking about a seasoned, grizzled old veteran. A grandpa. We're talking about a young man. In the prime of life, tough enough to fight, tender enough to where the children wanted to group around him. Amen. Tough enough to stand up against the sin and the liberalism, but gentle enough to where the ladies were not afraid to talk to him one-on-one.
Amen.
We're not talking about an old pawpaw like me. We're talking about a young man. Don't forget Jesus on earth never lived past 33. He was a young man that had great balance. Thank you. It's the only time you'll be like Jesus. Sorry. Jesus was the God man, the man of steel and velvet that had toughness, but was yet, I'm going to use this word because it's scriptural, he had gentleness. He was a balanced man of strength and courage, but gentle. The religious rulers feared his power, but women and children would flock to him and not be afraid. Why? Because he was gentle. Let me say this, and I mean this to Grace Baptist Church. I'm glad we have a church full of hard, strong, burly, mean men. But I want our men to have the balance that Jesus showed.
Amen.
To be gentlemen also. The word gentleman has taken on a wrong meaning in our generation. I would love to see people in this area see the men of this church as men of steel and velvet. We don't need these sissy britches alphabet soup crowd that don't know what a real man is and don't know which bathroom to use. I didn't say lace, I said velvet. Amen? Fellers, if I ever get attracted to a man, do me a favor. Take me out back and use my own gun to shoot me. When an ugly man's hairy legs make a man excited, time to get rid of that thing. But we also don't need a church full of Brahma bulls pushing and shoving each other around. Everybody doing okay? Men of Grace Baptist Church, I call on you to be men of balance like Jesus. Hardworking? Yes. Hard standing? Yes. Men who can also weep, though. Men who can take time for a child and them not be scared to death of you. Men of rigid discipline and principle? For sure. But men with mercy and love. May we rise to be true men of strength and gentleness. Fellas, this world, it's one extreme or the other. You've got bullies and you got sissies. I don't think we should be either.
Amen.
Now, if you got to choose one, be the bully. And it's easier to soften somebody up than it is to toughen them up.
Amen.
But I think we could hit that balance that Jesus showed us and be gentlemen. You know, I think it's appropriate for a man to hold the door open for his wife or any other lady. Not just when people are looking. You're not a gentleman because you hold the car door open for it at church. Do you do it at home when nobody else is around? Ouch. Now we went to meddling real fast, didn't we? Let me give you a few. Honestly, I only have 2 points today. Number one, what is gentleness? What is gentleness? The word gentleness, defined in Scripture, means this: mild, kindness, appropriateness, humble, patient. Gentleness isn't, she's got 3 or 4 kids to get ready and you're sitting in the car, it's time to leave for Sunday school, and you're blowing the horn, making her hurry up to get the kids out while you sit there blowing the horn.
Amen.
If you're so worried about it, how come you didn't grab 2 or 3 of the kids on the way out? Ouch. Gentleness means chastening one's self, means self-disciplining, submitting oneself.
Amen.
Gentleness is not this rugged, well, bless God, I can do it. Well, yeah, I know you can, but that doesn't mean you're gentle. Let me give you a good definition of gentleness. Strength under control.
Amen.
Strength under control. Some of you fellas, you are so stinking strong, and you expect your wife to be as strong as you are. You don't understand that when, yeah. Can I tell you something? I'm going to get in trouble for saying this because I do every time I say it, but I'm going to say it again anyway. Some of you men should have married a man because you expect your wife to be a man. Then don't get upset when she acts like a woman. They're not as tough as you are. So, well, I only put my hand on her and she said, ouch. Well, yeah, because she feels things you don't. She doesn't have calluses and hide. She's a lady. You be careful and don't expect her to react like a man. Go marry a man if you do. Say, oh, preacher, that's disgusting. Some of you are approaching mental homosexuality expecting your wife to understand everything like a man. I didn't call you part of that. I said you're approaching it in that area alone, all right? Gentleness says, that's my wife. My wife and I went to Hawaii for our 35th anniversary, and one of the adventures we did was a 4-mile hike at a volcano crater. Let me tell you, I've caught some flack for this one. I said, it's the only one thing that's a little bit extra, hun. She said, okay. I put it towards the beginning of the week so we had time to recover from it. Well, we go down this jungle into the base of the crater in an active volcano. It's great. Then she's looking up saying, how are we getting back up there? I said, we're taking a different route out. I didn't tell her the route out was tougher than the route in. My hands hurt for 2 days afterwards from her squeezing my hand as I helped her up every step for 2,000 feet. But it was worth it all. Now, wait a minute. I had people in the group that was with us. The tour guide himself, he said, Mr. Bush, he said, you're different. I thought, if you only knew. He said, you take care of your wife, but there's others here that you've helped as well. He said, it's very obvious to me, you could probably lead this crowd in and out of this thing as well as I can physically. I said, I got you fooled. you ain't hunted where I have down at Brother Larry's, amen? put deer on your back and carry them out. He said, it's very obvious to me, you have the ruggedness, but you're also paying attention to others when it's tougher areas and helping them. He said, we don't get many gentlemen on this tour. And I thought, how sad. How sad. There was a day I'd hold a door open for a lady, and most of the time they would say thank you. These days you hold a door open for a lady, I can get it myself. I want to stick a size 8.5 somewhere on the way through. Amen. Gentleness is strength under control. This is a true statement. There's two ways to break a horse. You could do it the old cowboy way and jump on it and let him kick and squall and bawl and throw you off 40 times until you finally get through that thick head of his. But there's also a way, there's something called gentling a horse. Good horsemen understand how to gentle a horse into submission. It was not harsh and forceful. It was taking all the power that animal has and getting them to control themselves to let you on their back and lead them. It involved no kicking and bucking. It involved a trust that was built. Men, how about we learn to gentle things and not be a cowboy? I don't see Jesus walking around being a cowboy. I do see him walking around leading people as a shepherd would lead sheep. You drive cattle, you lead sheep. Amen. You gentle sheep. Everybody doing okay? You gentle a horse to the point where the horse decides that he'll take all that energy he has and let the rider control him. It's not the rider controlling, it is the horse under control. And it's time some of us get control of ourselves. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is not sissiness, like a bow tie. I mean, gotcha. I'm teasing. He said, my son tricked me. I said, that's what you get for listening to a four-year-old. Yeah, three. Gentleness is realizing that brutish force and bull strength is not needed for everything in life. 2 Samuel 22:36, don't turn there. The Bible says, thy gentleness hath made thee great. Psalm 18:35, the Bible talks about thy gentleness hath made thee great. Fellas, let's put it in terms you understand. You don't need a 10-pound sledgehammer to put a nail in the wall to hang a picture. You don't trim the edge of something with a chainsaw. Gentleness comes into play. You see, Jesus had the power. Listen to this statement, please. Jesus had the power to speak a word, and all who took care of crucifixion would have died and gone to hell and set him free. But he answered not a word. Amen. He had the ability to call 10,000 angels to his rescue, and he chose not to do so. You see, he had the power to, but he chose not to use that power. You don't impress people by pushing them around. My son is in the military, my son Jeff. He's a moose. 5'9", weighs about 170. He's benching 310 pounds and he's deadlifting about 340 right now. He fills out a shirt. I do too, but we fill it out in different spots. Amen? We both bulge, but in different places. He won the bulge. I lost it. Amen? Gravity took hold. I'm dropping weight. It's gone from here to here. Brother Doug, I'm hoping I live long enough it comes out the end of my feet. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Jeff is tough enough to bend you in half and chew you up and spit you out. But I watched him at Christmas. I flew down to Atlanta where my daughter and sister and my son-in-law and my wife had gone down before me, and my grandson is there. There's a picture of my tough, rugged soldier boy. Got his arm around his mama. And a one-year-old baby in his arm with a big old smile on his face. Now, he's not going to smile like that when he's got his gun in his hand getting ready to shoot some gook somewhere. He's going to pull the trigger at 1,000 yards and watch their head blow up. And get up and go, yeah, where's another one? But he has that strength under control. He could pick up a baby who loved his Uncle Jeff. Put his arms around his mama. But tough enough to break you in half. Amen. Strength under control. Maybe we ought to learn a little strength under control. Number two. Jesus was gentle, listen to this, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to show you something, and I want everyone listening in, but especially you men. Galatians chapter 5. I read with you two verses. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. What's the next fruit of the Spirit?
Gentleness.
Gentleness. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That means the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God in man produces gentleness. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. You don't need to turn there. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by meekness and gentleness, the gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. Notice he said the gentleness of Christ. Listen to me very carefully. Fellas, I did not want to write this statement. I don't want to give this statement because it hurts me as much as it will you. When a man lacks gentleness, he lacks walking in the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness. When we are bullying our way through, we're working in our flesh and not the Spirit. Somebody say amen. It's Bible. You have to understand something. Gentleness is a spiritual thing. That's why the world cannot attain it. They have a false gentleness called sissiness. Femininity. God didn't say he wants you to be feminine. Thank God. Five greatest words in the English language. Thank God I'm a man. I respect you ladies, but I would not want to be a lady. I thank God I'm a man. But at the same time, I should be a gentle man. And gentleness comes by the Holy Spirit of God. And when a man gets saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside. Fellas, I'll promise you, your temper and your anger issues come. It's not because you had a bad past. It's because you're not spiritual. Ouch. Sorry. It's true. Well, I just have a quick temper, preacher. No, you just set the wick next to the flame. You allow your flesh to control it, not the Spirit. Oh, there are times we're supposed to get mad and get upset. Jesus did, I'll show you. But it wasn't like you and me. You see, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 24. Look at verse number, let's go back, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. That's talking about the Jehovah's false witnesses. Knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be what? Gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. God says that a servant of God must be gentle. Titus chapter 3, you need not turn there, it's just a couple pages over. But Titus chapter 3, look at verse number 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. In other words, your first reaction ought not be to swing your fists.
Amen.
Don't be a brawler.
Amen.
If your answer is fleshly, it's because you're not listening to the Spirit.
Amen.
I didn't say it, God did.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? James chapter 3, you need not turn there, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Easily to be entreated. That means people aren't intimidated to get your opinion.
Amen.
They're not afraid of asking you something for fear of you going off. Men, this doesn't mean we're supposed to be weak and wimpy, though. But it does mean that we do not lead others the way we lead ourselves.
Right.
Fellas, I believe that a man ought to push himself.
Amen.
I think you ought to have one more oomph in you than you give.
Amen.
I think you ought to try things bigger than you think you can handle.
Amen.
Most of the time it's after you say, "Watch this, y'all," that's the time to do it. I get tired of, you didn't grow up in my house. That man sitting right back there next to the last row in the aisle, my daddy. You didn't say, "I can't."
That's right.
My daddy would tell you, "Can't" means it just takes longer to get done.
Amen.
You didn't use that word. Because not only did you do that, you did something else you could not do.
Sit down.
Yeah, buddy. Now, you have to understand something. I don't believe that a man, though, ought to lead others the way you lead yourself.
That's right.
Now, I'm pretty hard on me. I'm pretty hard driven. I really am. I get up early. I stay up late. I work hard. I play hard. I have a pretty rugged schedule for my age especially. But may I say something? I work extra hard not to try to lead those on my staff the way I lead me. I don't know how many times I'll go to my wife and say, "Was I too hard?" I'll ask Brother Anthony or Mrs. Barnes or anybody that's here on staff. There'll be times I'll say, "Was I too hard on that?" Say why? Because I don't want to lead him the way I lead me.
Amen.
I know me. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. You're doing something, and you get in the middle of it, and you're pushing, and all of a sudden you do something wrong. And the first words out of your mouth, "You stupid idiot." And you really get on yourself. You know what I'm talking about? Or if you don't say it out loud, you've said it in your head. I don't want that man to ever hear those words out of my mouth as I lead him.
Amen.
Ever. I never want my secretary to hear those words. And in 11 years, she's not heard them. Say why? Because I refuse to lead them the way I lead me. I refuse to lead my wife the way I lead myself. She wasn't ready to get up out of bed at 4:30 this morning, 4:15 when I got up. Say, "Do you wake up grumpy?" "No, I let her sleep." Amen. I don't expect her to keep the schedule I keep. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Say why? She's not me.
But
if I can help her be the best she can be, she's going to help me be a better me.
Amen.
Quit expecting everybody to view life through your eyes, through your ability. I don't expect you to know the Bible the way I know the Bible. I've given 44 years of my life to preaching it and studying it. Have you? Therefore, I should know it better than you.
Amen.
You see, I need to keep my hardness under control as I lead others. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 2. Don't turn there. The Bible says that surely I am more brutish than any man, but have not the understanding of a man. There is more to manhood than physical strength.
Amen.
Don't stand up, Brother Jim. That's a man right there. That's a real man. Went to war, Korean War, got hurt, worked full career afterwards. That's a man's man right there. But Brother Jim at 90 plus isn't as strong as he used to be. But tell you what, he's still a man. I'll take him over any of these things that can't figure out what they is. Any day of the week. Can I tell you why? He may not be as strong as he once was, but he has the understanding of a man.
Amen.
There is more to manhood than physical strength.
Amen.
Jesus, on Palm Sunday, as they lauded him, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest, he gets off a donkey, sits down, and starts making a whip, a cat of nine tails. He walks into the temple, starts cracking that whip. Yeah, get out of here. Starts kicking the tables over and said, you turned my father's house into a den of thieves. Welcome to Palm Sunday, religiosity crowd. He chose to kick the tables over, chase the business people out because they were making money off of God's people wrongly and in the name of God, and it wasn't for God, it was for their profit.
Amen. Right.
I have these people that want to come to our church because we're getting a pretty good sized congregation and they want to sell their stuff at church. It ain't happening.
Amen.
Well, I could get 10 more people to sell with me and I can make money, and over a period of years I won't have to work then and they'll work for me. Yeah, it's called a pyramid scheme. Yeah. Keep it away. I'm not saying that you can't do business with people, but don't do it at church.
Amen.
Come to church, not make money. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. Just that was a nice little way of saying it. Here's Jesus making a whip, cracking a whip, chasing the business people out and kicking their tables over, and they weren't real happy with him. 4 days later at Calvary, he spoke not a word. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday and resurrected on a Sunday. You can't get Good Friday in there 3 days and three nights.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? He was... I think through this. He went from cracking the whip to not saying a word. He was gentle. He did not lead others the way he led himself, but when he needed to crack the whip and say, yeah, he did.
Amen.
He could speak and the devils and the demons obeyed his voice. Listen to this very carefully and I'll finish. He did not fight as they pulled out his beard by the handful. He did not pull his fists up to swing at somebody as they coughed up defilement in their throat and spit in his face. He answered them not a word. That takes some more man not to punch somebody up that spits in their face. He did not fight as they beat him or whipped him. He did not fight as they placed a crown of thorns with 3 to 4 inch thorns on them and beat it with a stick into his head. He answered them not a word. They put a 200-pound cross on his shoulders and he carried it most of the way up Golgotha's hill. And he didn't say a word till he collapsed under the load. I don't believe they had the force, our Savior, to put the nails in his hands. I don't think they had to grab his arms and fight him to put him out there and kneel on his arms to be able to nail his hands to the cross. I think he said, fellas, here you go. That's strength under control. He answered them, not a word. Oh, but somebody says something to you or unkind to you, you're ready to hit them. Yeah, because you don't have the Spirit of God in you showing gentleness. I'm not saying that you let somebody to harm your family or your wife. But your first reaction ought not be with the flesh, it ought to be with the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Give yourself time to submit to the Holy Spirit and figure out what to do. Listen to me. He could have stopped it all with one word. He could have stopped every bit of it with one word. But he held his tongue. His gentleness caused him to go through it for you and for me. We don't deserve it. Don't you tell me Jesus was some sissy hanging on a cross with a little trickle of blood here and a little trickle of blood here. Some long-haired maggot that wiggled when he walked. No. He was one tough man.
Amen.
Backbone of steel. Square-jawed, tough. But gentle enough to where the children would run up and say, Jesus, would you pray for my fish? Would you pray for my puppy? Would you pray for my mama or my daddy, my grandpa? Yeah. Uninhibited by the adults. Just run up to him. Men, let's be men filled with the Spirit as Jesus was. So that the Holy Spirit can produce gentleness in us. Let's not complain when others say we're not as gentle as they need us to be. Let's be spiritual and be what they need us to be. You can't be the man God wants you to be, though, if you're on your way to hell. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't be the man God wants you to be because you're not indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God and you need to get saved.
Amen.
Oh, real men don't need religion. Nobody needs religion. They just need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're not much of a man. You're just body and soul. You don't have a spirit. You're more of a man as a Christian than you are without being a Christian. We need men who will lead in this church. And I mean Sunday school classes and help in ushering and help in every area of this church that it needs. But maybe you ought to conquer that fear of baptism and get through it. Join the church. Lead your family. Lead spiritually. Don't get tired of, I'm tired of women leading spiritually. Then become spiritual.
Amen.
Don't yell at them. Step up and be more than what they are. Men, we ought to lead strong enough and gentle enough that people aren't afraid of us.
Amen.
But that the wrong ones are.
Amen.
Let's resolve to be men of balance, like Jesus. Men of steel and velvet. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. A bit of a different sermon, I know. And ladies, it was just as much for you as it was for our men. But I wonder who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure, go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores of hands. Thank you. If you've been saved and never baptized, how about we take care of it today? Everything you need's here. It doesn't get you to heaven. You're not going to be super Christian. It just makes you obedient. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and you'd like to join this church, you come. Maybe you just need to grab the reins and say, I'm going to be a better man, a more balanced man. Whatever the need,